I like it when it takes a long time for the children and youth, amen. I mean, there's some training going forward, amen. Got to pray for all of our sick and shut in, sleepy saints, amen. We are in a battle. It's funny, we begin the new year with really strong attendance, and it has been a fight ever since, amen. I believe that the enemy is concerned that if the people of God begin to get God, hell has issues, amen. Can I say that again? If the people of God begin to actually get God, hell will have issues. Amen. You can be people of God, oh Lord, and not really in God. You can have the form of godliness, oh God, but deny the power thereof. Listen, I want to talk to you. I think this is going to be about a 2 to 3 part series. I don't have a flyer for it or any of that. I want to talk to you from the subtopic, deliver me from me. Deliver me. Deliver me. He's fine. He's home. He's fine. Deliver me from me. Amen. 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 Maya Angelou, an American memorist, poet, and civil rights activist, once said, and I quote, "Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better," end quote. Do the best that you can until you know better. And then when you know better, you do better. I think that we can all testify that whether it was financial responsibility, parenting, relationally, we all did at one time or another simply what we knew to do. And what we knew, it might not have been right, it might not have been ideal to many, but it doesn't negate the fact that it was all we knew. The queen of spoken word, Maya Angelou, evidently had a soft spot for those who at one time or another in their lives just did not know better. She understood the dynamics of bad training. And that bad training may not have just come from the upbringing of that particular household. That faulty training was most likely generationally taught. Not just generationally taught, but generationally kept and administered onto the next. And I think that it is vitally important to understand why someone is the way that they are. With all of my children, whether we always see eye to eye or not, I do understand why they think the way they think. And why they feel the way they feel about certain situations. And the reason that I know this is because they come partly from me. And I spent time with their mothers, and I knew and know their mothers. And so I can instantly identify what gene pool any of my children are operating from at just about any given time. And this is important to be able to do, because once you can identify whose genes your child is operating from, yours or the other parent, it can play a part in your calming down process and possibly permitting them a pass. It would be good for us sometimes when our children operate in ways that are displeasing to us that we not be so quick to want to jump on them. And what I've learned over the last couple of years is when I see me in my child, it automatically causes me to chill. Because I cannot, in right standing, I cannot, if I'm just going to be real about it, be upset with my child when they're exhibiting things that I gave them. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Yeah. And so, it's deep, but once I can understand who I'm dealing with, I can deal with them better. And then there are those times that I must admit that I look at my children and I have no idea where they get some of their thinking from. And it's in those moments that I want the state to run back the DNA and let's be sure that either one of these children at that particular time belongs to me. In fact, you know, it was funny because we have a, I ain't gonna say that because he's 6'4" now and he don't just take it no more, amen. He hits back. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 7, we find Solomon, King Solomon, the son of David, the third king of Israel, the wisest king to ever rule, we find him saying, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get an understanding. The New Living Translation, as you see on the screen, says, develop good judgment. But, with all you're getting, get an understanding. And I absolutely love this proverb because if received and applied, it will become such a rich nugget in your life. I mean, think about it. Wisdom is the principal thing. The word principle comes from the Latin origin principalis, which translates to mean first in importance. First in importance. Wisdom is the main thing you ought to be after. It is critical that you have wisdom, for without wisdom, your life will always be in chaos and confusion. The definition of wisdom is the ability, and this is deep, the ability to use your knowledge and experience to make good decisions and judgments. The definition of wisdom is the ability to use your knowledge and experience to make good decisions and judgments. Now, here's where it gets sticky. Because if wisdom is the ability to use your knowledge and your experience to make good decisions and judgments, there would seem to me like some things that we are constantly finding ourselves in, complicated things, things that never seem to work the way that we planned, just simply would not be. I should have the definition up there of this wisdom because I want to go over it again. And it says the ability to use your knowledge. Oh, God. Your experience to make good decisions and judgments. Lord, have mercy. Let me make this real plain. If you have lived, then you have experienced. And whether it be in relationships or how you parent or how quick you sleep with somebody, all of it has given you experience. And that experience, whether good or bad, whether positive or negative, has given you, it's given you a knowledge. Amen. Be afraid of yourself if you are a person that can experience some things but don't get nothing from it. Lord, have mercy. You know something about it, yet for the life of me, I cannot understand why I continue to do things that do not work out on my behalf. And this right here is not a spiritual battle. Yeah, I know you was looking for a bailout. This right here is not a spiritual battle. No, baby, you don't get to claim, you don't get to claim that with this. You don't get to quote Paul, the Apostle Paul, when we found him in Romans chapter 7 talking about when I want to do good, I find that evil is ever present with me. So sometimes you have to be real with yourself and admit you didn't want to do good and you was the evil in you. And you got what you always got because that's what you wanted. I'm not a fan of, in fact, I'm so much not a fan that I'm not going to even say his name, but there's a particular author out that is just dropping a new book called Live Honest or Die Lying. And I think that one of the biggest problems in the 21st century westernized church is that we don't want to live honest. We are specialists at everybody else's beams, at everybody else's specs. But for some reason we can't see that we have logs in our own eyes. Can I just go ahead and suggest that book title again? Live Honest or Die Lying. Yeah. You did what you wanted to do and you got what you always got. And since it's habitual, I can only believe that it's what you want. No, the portion of Paul's monologue that some of you want to quote is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when he said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought and I reasoned as a child. Yeah. And I don't know who needs to hear this today, but it's time that you stop speaking, thinking, and reasoning like a child and get in that word and grow up. Lord, have mercy. King Solomon also said in the book of Proverbs, chapter 26, verse number 11, it says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. I don't know about anybody else, but this is one of the game-changing verses in my life. When I was in prison and first began to read the Bible, it hit me like a ton of bricks. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. See, back in the day, I used to have several pit bulls, but one in particular was my heart, and his name was Corrupt. And one day while walking Corrupt, I noticed that something about Corrupt wasn't quite right. And so I turned around to get him home, and halfway back home, he began to vomit. He began to vomit, and I gave him a minute to collect himself as well as give him time in case he needed to vomit some more. But instead of him moving away from the vomit, he did one of the most disgusting things that I had ever seen. He began to lick the vomit up. And even when I tried to pull at his chain, Corrupt gave resistance. And I thought to myself, why would you just try to eat? Why would you try to eat what evidently made you sick? And it wasn't until I researched that I found out that dogs have a strong sense of smell and are attracted to the scent of their own vomit due to the undigested food particles that's in the vomit. I'm glad I heard somebody say that's nasty. Oh, it might be nasty, but here's where it gets deep. Corrupt didn't understand that even though what he desired was before him in the vomit wasn't what he thought was really there. It had the scent of food. And it was the scent that was tempting him. Write that down. It's the thing that tempts me. It's the thing that tempts me. It was what he felt was there that made him blind to the fact that the sickness was connected to what he desired in that moment. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. When I first read that verse as a new Christian, all I thought about was, you know, it was simple thinking. Like, it was still true, but it was simple thinking. But what I didn't understand was that it was so much deeper than how I was looking at it. See, I had been hustling for years, and with hustling for me came other things. My truest desire in hustling was just simply, you know, the financial status of it, to make some money. But what I didn't understand young in it was, with the money came gold diggers. With the money came fake friends. With the money came the robbers. With the money came the envy. With the money came prison. With the money came addictions. And with all of these extras that came along with the money, I would often find myself in a sickened state. And the last part of the sickness, which would cause me to vomit, would be incarceration. Yet, when I would get out of prison, I would return to the streets because I would smell what I desired. Lord, have mercy. Let's take it deeper. And when I seen the money, I lost sight of the sickness that was in the vomit, that as long as I continued to eat what I smelled, it was going to keep me sick. As nasty as the thought may be of a dog licking up his own vomit, some of you are vomit consumers as well. Truthfully speaking, your dog doesn't eat as much vomit as you do. See, I ain't gonna make no friends in here today. See, the problem for a lot of people in the building is you have a strong sense of smell and are attracted to the scent of your own vomit due to the undigested relationship particles that lay in there. Oh, God. That's why some of you can be in a relationship that is not good for you, and more importantly, not of God. And finally, something will happen that makes you so sick that you decide that's it. And whatever happened to make you so sick that you threw it up, and after you threw it up, you felt better. But the problem was, Lord have mercy, the problem is, even in that nasty vomit, even with that happened to you, you could still smell what you desired. Oh, Lord. And as a consequence, you went back to it. And while some of you, and while some will tell you that it isn't always harmful for a dog to go back to its vomit, I'm here to tell you that it is for a human too. I want you to see what happens after the dog, what the dog does after the vomit. Can you give me the first picture? What happens is, you notice he stays next to it. Woo! Though the vomit has a stench, Lord have mercy, it's not a bad enough stench to make the dog move. Oh, Lord. There's a problem with sticking around with something, sticking around close to something that you desire, but it has something in what you desire that can destroy you. After you sit there, anybody ever been in this situation? You sat there long enough close to it, and then can you give me the next picture? And what happens was, now all of a sudden you got to get up. Hey, Lord, let me get up and just I know it did me wrong. I know it dogged me out. I know it belittled me. I know it had me second guessing myself, but it's something in the vomit that I desire. Oh, God. Something. And you notice the dog is looking at the vomit because You know, in my Holy Ghost filled mind, daughter of mine, what I think the dog is thinking is, maybe I won't get sick this time. Now, every time I eat it up, I throw it up again. Every time I experience it, it does me bad. It has never worked out on my behalf, but maybe, just maybe this time, it's got a different color to it. It's got a different texture to it. Maybe I'm all right. Maybe I'm all right this time. Maybe I know how long I was down and out. I know how long I found myself in a place of depression. I know how long I thought about suicide. I know how long I thought about going to the same sex because my sex wasn't working. I know what I thought about. I know how it had me. I know how it broke me. I know how it ripped me. You wanna? But maybe, just maybe, this time. Can we take it? Maybe the vomit ain't vomit. Maybe it wasn't what I ate that had me sick in the. Maybe it wasn't them. Maybe it was. You know how we do. Amen. Maybe I should have lost a little weight. Maybe that's what. Maybe I should have made my kids be quiet more and stay in the room a little. Maybe it was anything but what I know it was. So as a consequence, you went back to it, and you see what happens. Ain't that what a lot of us do? You know when you're in this spot. Can I just be real? You know when your people's in that spot because they ain't answering your calls no more. They got to call you back. Watch this, when the vomit ain't around. Can't let you see me contemplating vomit because you're going to think something wrong with me if you see me. I mean, who in their right mind would want vomit? You know when you're connected to people that's contemplating the vomit, because that's what he's doing right there. He's contemplating his mess. You know, because all of a sudden, you know, you don't get the text that you used to do, and we can't hang out as much as we used to. You understand what I'm saying to you? Everything changes. And then all of a sudden, the dog gets bold, just as the human does. Give me the third one. And then all of a sudden, I'm going for it. I'm just going for it. There is nothing that looks healthy about that. Watch this. It does not look like what it started. That ain't what it looks like when he started. This is the result of what happened. This was a result of the process. This is a result of the disobedience. This is a result of the rebellion. This is a result of not listening. But you so thirsty for what you smell and desire that you decide, I think I'm going to try it just one more time. This time, if it don't work, hey, Lord, have mercy. You notice right there, he's talking to the vomit right there. You ever talk to your vomit? I'm going to tell you now, this is this last time you're going to get me sick. You better make sure. Oh, Lord. Yeah, I just let that sink in on purpose. I want you to play with that for a minute. Yeah, yeah. Because some of you playing with vomit now. Truth be told, some of you playing with vomit now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Vomit was meant to be cleaned up, not reconsumed. It was meant to be mopped up, not reconsumed. You understand what I'm saying to you? Can I just go ahead and tell you this? As long as you continue to deal with the vomit, you can never operate healthy. And as long as you are never operating healthy, you are operating dysfunctionally. And as long as you are dysfunctional, you receive information dysfunctionally. It could be the truth, but you can't receive it as the truth. You'd receive it as an attack. You understand what I'm saying to you? When you operate in dysfunction, you come up with standards that you don't even uphold yourself. I've said it before. I'm gonna say it again. So some of y'all chasing the vomit because the vomit looked good before it made you sick. Uh huh. So some of you was messing around with something that was too much for you, gravy train. When for real, you know you was only built for kibbles and bits. I'm teaching in here if you're willing to receive it. I promise. I'm trying to let it go, but I need you to understand that it will always turn out how it turns out because it's supposed to turn out like that. Bad ain't never supposed to do you good. Sin ain't never supposed to work out for you. You understand what I'm saying to you? Maya Angelou said, do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, you do better. Beloved, I suggest that if you have been attending this church for at least 3 months between Sunday school, Bible study, men and women's groups, messages, by now you know better. I can confidently stand here with all of the teachers and preachers and pastors that rock with me, whether it be on the Sunday school, whether it be in the Bible study. You know, today David texted me and he said, I texted David, did you get my scriptures for today? And he said, no. I said, who do I send my scriptures to? And he texted me back and said, I've got them. And I said, you've got them? I didn't send them. He said, no, I got some scriptures from Sister Larissa. And I said, oh, okay, she must be teaching Sunday school. He says, no way. I said, what do you mean? He said, she's got 31 scriptures. I said, 31. He said, 31. I counted. He said, I just thought that was for the regular service. I said, 31 scriptures. I said, don't nobody do that. I said, I don't even do that in my sermons. And I'm doing the sermons, you know. But 31 scriptures, you know what that says? I am here to make sure you get it. You ain't got no excuse. You see what I'm saying to you? So you find me sometimes perplexed in my spirit because we work hard for you. And we don't work hard for you to be knee-deep in sin. We don't work hard for you to be crazy. We don't work hard for you for that thing to shake back rotten fruit, not edible fruit, not fruit that's going to produce something. We work hard so that you don't go to hell. So if you've been at this church, I used to say if you've been here for a year, but I can confidently say if you've been here for 3 months, you are without excuse. You are without excuse. You know better by now. Amen? That's why, you know, you remember your kids, y'all, you, and oh, Lord, I'm very blessed the kids today. That's why some of you shouldn't say nothing to the kids. When you say you knew better, they could say, but you did too. I heard what Pastor be preaching. I heard what all the pastors be preaching. You did too. So I'll stop messing up when you stop messing up. What if that was the mentality? Oh, God. What if that? I stand on a butt whooping. I ain't going to stop till you do. Lord. We might need some lawyers. Amen. Listen, today, and I'm almost done already, I want to end the first part of this series with a very popular but more so powerful piece of scripture to again leave you without excuse. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. And I'm reading it from the New, and the reason why I'm doing a lot of stuff in the New Living Translation is because I was asking some of you over the week if you had New Living Translation Bibles. And I know some of you guys are like in the middle of which Bible that you're going to use, but I'm going to be teaching very, very strongly from the New King James and the New Living Translation. I will throw paraphrases in there going forward a little bit, but the reason why I want you on the New Living Translation, and you'll have yours this week, Makora as well, the reason why I want you on these is because I want us to be on the same accord. I want us to be on the same accord, and starting next Sunday, I want you down here. If you're not, don't have some type of physical ailment, I want you down here because, and I'm buying you all notebooks if you ain't already got your own, because I want to make sure that you're writing stuff down. I know that most churches that you go to, people let you come, you listen to the sermon, and you go on about your business. I'm not built like that. It is vitally important to me that you get this. I don't stand up here just because I can. I stand up here to make sure that you get it, because I want her to get it. I want him to get it. You understand what I'm saying to you? I want him to get it. See, if you're going to trick it off, that's on you. But at least get this so you can give it to them so that they don't trick it off. Okay? So I'm doing everything that you see go forward from this day forward is intentional. And it always has been. It always has been. And so sometimes you see me flip the script and then you see me trying this and you see. So let me tell you what that is. That's not me not knowing what I'm doing. That's me trying to figure you out. That's me trying to figure out the formula that will work, that you will begin to not just come amen, because amen, you know, we preached a sermon years ago. Mama, you was there over there at Phillips Memorial with us. Don't amen if your walk don't agree. Because in one instance, amen means so be it. But the other instance, it means I agree. And I just, this is a season that I'm in today. That don't keep on amen and if your walk don't agree. Amen. See, because let me tell you what you're doing when you amen and your walk don't agree. You're stunting. You're projecting. You're trying to, amen. Shut up. I'm talking about you. You see what I'm saying to you? Like we'll sometimes we'll amen so we don't have to ouch, because we're concerned with what the people around us will think if they figure out we ain't who we really claim we are. Beloved, the Bible says don't be afraid of the one that can kill the body. You better be concerned about the one that's in control of your soul. Amen. So what we're doing is, and I took a stop right here in the middle of the sermon because I want everybody to understand what's going on. So I'm contacting some of y'all and I'm saying, hey, I want you to make a vow to God to not do this or to not do that. And you might say, well, why is he asking me to do that? Because that's what I see. And so what I'm trying to do is, because the enemy is moving strategically, I'm trying to move as or more strategically and saying, you know, Let's catch this. You see what I'm saying to you? Now, let me just go ahead and stop the devil. My sister and my niece, they got something to do. They ain't mad and walking out. They got something to do. Amen? All right, because, you know, y'all know how church folk be. Love you. Y'all know how church folk be. They must have got upset. No, they didn't. They just had something to do. And the Bible says, aspire to live a quiet life and mind your business. Amen. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Now, here's the thing. So I'm trying to figure out where you are so we can hit that thing with word. Everything that is ailing you, everything that is crushing you, everything that is dismantling you, and for some reason you seem to like it, I'm trying to find word to put to that thing to show you God is not pleased with you right there. You understand what I'm saying? Like I don't, you know... I got saved in prison. I went to one church and then I started my own. So I don't know what a lot of other churches do. But over here, we are constantly, intentionally doing surgery so that you can be what it is that you claim to be, so that your claiming doesn't end you up in hell because you thought you were somewhere you wasn't. This role of pastor is not easy for me. I heard somebody tell me, you care too much. Well, what else would I be doing here if I didn't? You care too much. Man, give it to him and go on about your business. I ain't built like that. I served Satan better than that, so I know I'm going to serve God and you better than that. You see what I'm saying to you? Listen, 2 Chronicles, I'm almost done, I promise. Chapter 7, verse number 14, it says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. In the New King James, and the King James, it says, and heal their land. Let me ask you a very simple question, and I want you to write this down. How many of you are God? Here's a question. How many of you are God's people? So, in other words, I want you to write down, am I God's people? Now, I want you to be brutally honest with that, because you don't get to say that you're God's people because you just say it. How many of you, am I God's people? And I didn't ask you if you was perfect, because none of us are. And being God's people won't change that. What I want to know is how many, in fact, you know what? Let's just go ahead and put it out there. How many of us, raise your hands, are God's people? I want to get a look. I'm not setting you up for failure. I want to know. Okay. All right. Okay. Buddy, you God's people? Okay, now you raise your hand, because I can't have you playing for me if you ain't God's people. Now, I want you to get this. So what we're saying is that if we are his people, God's people, then you feel that you have been called by his name. And I know my theologians out there are going to want to kill me because, I'm not exegeting the text, the way that they would seem that I should. But this scripture, and the reason they get upset, because this scripture, I want you to catch this, is not aimed for our nation. This is the church's scripture for the nation. If our people, he's not talking about America. This was a special covenant with God and Israel. You understand what I'm saying to you? But even though he's not talking about our country, I do believe that the word is alive. I do believe that the word is alive. And so I believe that if the scripture is received and applied personally, it can play a significant role in the way we here at the Unity Worship Center operates concerning our Christendom. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. So though God was speaking to the nation of Israel in this verse, I stand on the Bible is alive and has a connection and a lesson for us today. So when the verse speaks of humbling ourselves, and I want you to write this down in your notes, I want you to ask yourself this question in your notes. Do I need to humble myself? Oh, Lord. Now, be honest with yourself about that one. So let me help you with the answer. If you are in sin of any kind, habitual sin of any kind, you need to humble yourself. If you say stuff like, I know God said this in his word, but you need to humble yourself. That's what's called a high imagination. That's anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You understand what I'm saying to you today? Is that Thomas? That ain't Thomas. Is that Thomas? Aaron. Hey, man, praise God. we ever get this brother on the praise team, Shando Babashe. Amen. Listen. Y'all know we go way back. He was so cold of a dancer, I nicknamed him Dope Move. And he was in my rap group, and I only needed one dancer because he was that dope. He did moves that still got me in pain today, just looking at him. Listen, let me get back to this. I want you to write this down. Do I need to humble myself? Be honest with yourself with that answer. Okay? In this instance, to humble yourself means, watch this, to reject, I think it should be up there, to reject the pride and stubbornness that has been present in your personal and life history. Yeah. Let me say it again. In this instance, to humble yourself means to reject the pride and stubbornness that has been present in your personal life and history. Anybody got any pride that's in your life and in your, you got a history of it? A history of you can't tell me nothing? A history of I'm going to do what I'm going to do? Uh-oh, y'all ready for this one? A history of, look, I'm grown. I'm grown. You ain't going to tell me. I ain't. God is. So I want you to catch this. So then the verse says, pray and seek his face. A couple of weeks ago, I was in jail teaching. And when I was done, I asked a young man to pray us out. And he said, Pastor, I really don't know how to pray. And my response was, sure you do. Sure you do. If you know how to talk, you know how to pray. It's you talking to God and being honest about where you know you really are. Beloved, this is high time for some of us to pray and tell God where we really are. And it's not that God doesn't know. It's the fact that you trust God enough to say, look, I know you're the most perfect entity to ever exist. I know you are the great I am. I know that there is no sin in you. But I'm a whole mess. I'm a trip times three. But I trust you enough that even with as good as you are, I'm going to tell you where I'm at. And the reason that I'm going to tell you where I'm at is because I need your help not being this way no more. Please, God, deliver me from me. Why, you, Lord, have mercy. Deliver me from me. It's time for us to seek his face, be constant in pursuit of him, turn from every wrong, all of our wicked ways, every last one of them. Listen, he goes on, he says, if you turn from your wicked ways, first let's deal with prayer. He says, I want you to pray. You know why he tells you he wants us to pray? Because we ain't been. We've been begging, but we ain't been praying. It's a difference. We've been stepping to him when it is that we need something or we want something to come to pass. ain't it deep how we get real tight with Jesus in the hell? When it get crazy, all of a sudden we get a prayer life. But because you really don't pray, you don't understand that that's not really a prayer life, that's a beg life. That's a one-night stand life. Because as soon as you think that you are out of deep water, shark water, you stop praying. I don't know, call me crazy. It was a one-night stand in the street when I went to see you just for what I wanted and didn't come back. What's it in the spiritual? The problem is, the scripture says, Pastor Sherry, God is not mocked. So even when you step to him and you ain't for real about what it is that you're saying, if he delivers you, if he pulls you through, if he brings you out of it, watch this. God already knows you tripping. He know you lying. He know what you're going to do. And he's offended that you would think so small of him that after I bring you out, you really think that I'm so stupid that I would believe you done with it. And it's a disrespect to waste my time, thus saith the Lord. I am not mocked, and you will reap what you sow. Oh, you want to play with me? Oh, God, you want to play with me? You want to deny me before man? Huh? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Do you know what denying God before man is? That's when you'll do what you want to do, though you know you shouldn't do it, just so that you can please somebody else. Going to hell. He says, listen, if you pray and you seek my face, and you know why he says you need to humble yourself? He says, because the problem is that I ain't never met so many people who ain't had a window to, a pot to, or a window to throw it out of, and got the nerve to think they all that. Can't tell them nothing. He said, listen, baby, you need to humble yourself. I know you think you all that, and that's why you can't put your stock in how people feel about you, because people have you gassed up. People have you thinking you somewhere you not, and then all of a sudden, because you think you somewhere you not, because they pushing you and pumping you, you think you all right with God, and God's like, because I am not impressed. Oh, Lord. Yeah. So he says, I need you to humble yourself because you ain't all that. I need you to humble yourself because I'm God. I'm the only God, and only what I say matters. Humble yourself. I need you to seek me. I need you to seek my face. Now, y'all remember a couple of years ago I told you, I said, everybody's trying to figure out how to be saved. And I said, it's in one word. Everybody looked at me crazy. I said, it's in one word. How do I get saved? Pursue God. Pursuit. That's the word of the day. All you got to do is pursue him, because you can't pursue him and pursue evil at the same time. He says, I need you to pursue me with reckless abandon. I need you to pursue me to the point to where you don't care who you lose and what you've got to go through and who don't call you back and who ain't down for you no more. Pursue me. Pursue me. And then he promises you something. I'm done. He promises you something. He says, then I'll hear you. Lord, have mercy. There's revelation in that. Some of you been praying and ain't been getting no answer. Yeah, because you ain't went through the first steps yet. Somebody told you you could pray and get your way. He said, no, baby, there's a process, and the process is you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to turn from your wicked ways. You're going to have to pray to me. You're going to have to pursue me, baby. And if you'll do that and you'll do it from a pure place, I'll hear you from heaven. I'll hear you. And not only will I hear you, the Lord says, don't be afraid. I've got greater on the way. The Lord says, don't be afraid. God said, I set that up. God said, I set that up. He said, this is where me and you get intimate. Yeah. He says, but once I hear you, then I'll heal your land. Hold on. See, y'all missed it. He says, I'll forgive you of your sins. I'll forgive you of the disrespect that you have shown toward me. Think about that when God says something like that. I ain't talking about this is your cousin. I'm talking about this is God. And he says, I will forgive you for the disrespect that you've shown towards me. That's powerful. Coming from God. Then he says, and I'll heal your land. It's a process. Watch this. So you can't be healed until you're forgiven. That's why his first command was repent, say you're sorry, then believe. Because you can't be healed if you're not forgiven. Lord, deliver me from me. Deliver me from me. I don't want to be this way no more. And there's people sitting in this sanctuary right now that's so sick and tired of themselves that they don't know what to do. And God is saying, sure you do. He's all right. He's all right. He's running to where his destiny is. God says, sure you do. It's in the surrender. It's into giving it all up for me. It's in the giving it all giving it all up for me. If there's anybody in the room today that desires to give themselves over to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I offer you the invitation to come on down. If today is the day that you're saying, you know, it's time that I get delivered from me, and I done faked it, I done played games with it, I done tricked people, but today I want to start. I want to start my new life. Today I want to give my life to Jesus. If there is anybody today that says, I want to do this thing the right way, we offer you the opportunity to come down. If today you are deciding you are no longer going to be the you that you've been, the you that's cost you so much, the you that's brought you so much hardship, the you that keeps returning to the vomit, we offer you the invitation to come on down. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life, with a walk that's so powerful. You know, I was on my way over here and I wasn't saying much. I was listening to the music, listening to my wife sing. And the Lord put the word deep in my spirit. Bless you. Deep. And I said, Lord, what do you mean? What do you mean deep? And he said, in this season, I'm calling for deep. And I know you've heard pastors preach it. They was lying, talking about, I ain't trying to be deep. If you wasn't trying, then you'd be talking in a way that I could understand. But in this season, God said, no, I'm calling you to be deep. You know what deep is? Deep is when you can see.
Go back, can't go back.
Hold on 1 second. Give me just 1 second. Deep is when you can be surrounded by all this sin and say, nah, I'm good. Deep is when you've been knee deep in the sin and it offer you its best. Sin offer you its best. And you can say, nah, I'm good. And the reason why that's deep is because, truth be told, if you've been acclimated or you've been familiar with sin, truth be told, it ain't hard to walk away from. It ain't easy to walk away from. Sin had us for a reason, y'all. Sin had us for a reason. And it takes a deep person to search the depths of their soul and say, you know what? I ain't where I'm supposed to be. Bless you. I ain't where I'm supposed to be. But I'm going to walk away from it. And it's going to hurt. And it's going to crush me. And it's going to make me want to give up. And I'm going to deal with bouts of depression. I'm going to trip on some folk. I'm going to want to walk away from the church. I'm going to want to give up. I'm going to want to go back to what? To my vomit. But deep says, now I understand that he's called me to something greater. Deep says, I ain't gonna just lay down with you when you ain't my husband. He made me a wife, not a sexual deposit spot. Deep makes you walk out of your sin and with hell coming up against you on every side. And you decide, for God I live and for God I die. That's deep. That's deep. If there's anybody in the building today that desires to give their life to Jesus, we offer you that invitation to come on down. I want to say this going forward. This ain't the church. This ain't the church if you ain't trying to live right. And I know some people are caught up with numbers and they just excited that you be here. That's not okay with me. here, you got to be okay. Amen.